God made woman last, according to his divine plan, so that when creating, she wasn't looking over his shoulder telling him how to make man. Amen. That's what I said. She was created last, so she wasn't looking over the shoulder. All right, take your Bibles again. We're in Genesis chapter 39 and Hebrews chapter number 10. If you got offended at that joke, I'm sorry. This is the Trump era, and political correctness has gone out the window. And amen. If you, all the men are finally getting some bravery now. Amen. Looking at their wives like, what are you going to do about it? The wife looking at them, you'll see, buddy. All right, we're not preaching anything about husband-wife relationships. We are about the family, but we're steering a little bit off of that. We're on Joseph and Christ, and Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's a little warm, we may have to turn one of the units onto an air to bring it back down. I think we're up at 73. It's a little warm in here. I don't want folks falling asleep. I know it's already hard enough to stay awake when I preach, but it doesn't help when the temperature's a bit warm. But if I could have Brother Smith attend to that here quickly. Once again, we're in Genesis chapter number 39. Last week, we saw the comparison of Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ between the two as an example to the subject of humility. And we could all stand a heavy dose of humility. Now, of course, Jesus Christ chose humility. Joseph had it thrust upon him. Really, they both had it thrusted upon them. Jesus had bid himself to do the will of the Father. But we understand that Joseph was just doing his job, and before he knew it, he was thrown into the pit and sold into slavery by his brethren. And what a terrible, terrible thing it was to be sold into slavery. And we'll talk a little bit more about that subject matter as this message progresses this morning, as we look into a new subject, and that is, if you're going to submit in humility, that means or translates to you're going to have to become a servant. I want you to say that with me. I need to become a servant. Would you say that with me? I need to become a servant. Today in our culture, we have far too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Too many people want to be on the top, and nobody wants to do the down and dirty work that needs to be done to move society and culture forward. Jesus Christ and Joseph both serve as an example as individuals who served, who they put themselves on the bottom rung, and they just did what they knew was expected of them to do, and because of that, they rose to the top. And we're going to see that this morning. A perfect illustration has been the recent news that has been revealed to us in politics about the recent corruption that further deepens within the Democrat Party. We have seen that those that wanted to get more power, wanted to become president, were willing to stoop to low levels, to lie and to malign the character of our current president before he was ever president. And they created this dossier, and they were trying their best to push him down and lift themselves up. And we have found that that person who did that did not get elected. And I want to just stop and say, I'm usually not political, but I am telling you, if this would have been role reversed, if the Republican Party would have done what the Democrat Party did in the last 2 years in politics, we would be hearing about it every hour on the hour by all the liberal news media outlets. But they're mute about the subject. But the reality is, the corruption level is so deep. Hillary has been quoted in one of her emails. She said, if this does not get fixed, talking about just before the election, and we go down, we're all going to hang by a rope. And I am telling you, when you advance your cause and you push your agenda, you're going to find yourself failing. It is only when you take upon yourself the veil of being a servant, the clothing of servanthood, that I am just going to quietly do what is expected of me. That is when God takes and exalts you and lifts you up. And that's what we're going to see here this morning. The scriptures give us two wonderful passages that tell us this. We read these verses last week. Proverbs 22, verse number 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches,
honor, and life. You ought to make that a memory verse. Turn with me there to Proverbs 22, verse number 4. Let's say that verse together. I think it's a wonderful verse for you to commit to memory. Proverbs 22 and verse number 4. Ready? Begin. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Again, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You do not seek the riches. You do not seek the honor. You do not seek your own life. The Bible says that person which will lose his life shall find it. James puts it this way in chapter 4, verse number 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. My friend, we need servants in the year of 2017. Tabernacle Baptist Church is being lifted up in the community of Tioga because we have a church full of people that get it and understand it, that if we want to see good and great and rich and prosperous ways, we've got to be willing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? That's what it takes. It's that way in your personal family. It's that way in your personal life. You need to seek servanthood and just do what is expected of you to be done. And then the people of this world will see it and will lift it up. God will do it and work mightily. Now, as always, we often have 3 points. And we want you, if you're taking notes, to write these 3 points down about the subject of being a servant. Christ was a servant. Joseph was a servant. Now, I want to go back to the storyline in Genesis there before I give you the first point and comprehend what transpired there in Genesis in chapter number 39. The Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Think about this for a second. The man has been taken from his family, ripped apart by his own brothers, sold to his cousins. His cousins have taken him down to Egypt, and in their merchandising and selling of trade of things, they have sold him, and they sold him into the house of one of the high officers in the house of Egypt, and that was the main general, Potiphar. And now he's a servant. I want you to, for a second, put yourself in that mind, if you could, for me, for just a moment. Could you imagine being taken from your condition you presently have? I don't care if you're old or young, and be sold as a slave to somebody else. You now live in their homes. You're given a quarter, and you're expected, a quarter, a place to live within that house, and you're expected to give everything from 12 to 16 hours of your life to serving other people. Now, America, may I say that probably every last one of us, and I include myself, would become the most whiny and complainy and most miserable human being on the face of this planet. Can I get an oh me? You know you would. There's not a person that likes to do it. I for certain know what teenagers would be complaining the most, because they already do. But they learned it from somebody. Yeah, parents, shake your head up and down. They learned it from us. We are very spoiled. We are very prosperous. We live in a land free of slavery. And it's interesting to me how that there is culture amongst us, a subculture running. If it's not really a subculture, I believe it's the dominant culture that has this arrogance about it, that treats it like we're all slaves. Oh, we're servant to the man. Oh, it's just terrible. When the truth is, we live very free and we live very prosperous and very blessed lives, but we act like we're all slaves. Shake your head up and down. You know it's true. Mrs. Butler agrees with me. Thank you, Mrs. Butler, for paying attention there. Yeah, and as I'm watching, I look at y'all. I see who's paying attention, who's on your phone texting and so forth. Anyway, understand that Joseph was sold as a slave. And if anybody had a reason to gripe and to complain about his lot in life, it was him. But we don't see him doing that. Instead, we see him accepting this position of being a servant and doing the best job that he could and rising to the top. It was thrust upon him, and he submitted to it, and he did the work of God. And that is our first point. Write down, if you're taking notes, when submitting to doing the work of God, doing God's work, the Lord will give you his presence and his prosperity. Again, when you submit to doing God's work, the Lord will give you His presence and His prosperity. We look at verses 1 through 3. We read verse number 1, but look at verse number 2. And the Lord was what? With Joseph. He was with him. That's his presence. And he was a, what's it say? A prosperous man. Why was he that way? Because he had the character of being a servant. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3. And the master did what? Saw that the Lord was with him. There again is the presence of God. And that the Lord had made all that he did to do what? Prosper in his hand. I want you to understand this morning that the United States of America serves as a wonderful illustration of its greatness because we have always had a hard-working mentality. And that there are those in our nation who have adopted this progressive ideology that the day is coming that robots are going to do all our work, so we need four-day, you know, work weeks and or three-day work weeks, and we just need to sit back and relax, and that's what's expected to do of us. And yet it continues to be rejected by the greater portion of the whole. By the way, you check it out. Those that were supportive of the Democrats and the leftists, that's what they think. They want to be more blessed, and they want more money to flow from the government to them and to be redistributed. Those that voted the other way believe in that little principles like hard work and, you know, put your nose to the grindstone and make your own way and work hard. You see that that's the two attitudes that are dominant. And that's really what the political argument is in our nation. And I'm here to tell you that our nation is great because of the hard work and the servanthood that this culture has adopted, and that there is a great wickedness in this culture that exists, and it is exemplified in Hollywood, may I say. Actors sit there and act like, oh, we work so hard. Baloney. Athletes, and I love athleticism, but athletes act like, oh, you know, I work hard to be on the top of my game. I wish I could go play basketball all day. I love the sport. That's not work. That's fun. Oh, you just don't know. No, I know. I worked in high school playing sports. It was fun. And they act like, oh, you just don't know what I know. That kind of attitude that just says that, I put my 8 hours in and now it's all my time and me time. That's not the attitude that Joseph had. Joseph saw that he was put in a position that he could serve, and he did his best, and it prospered him, and God gave him his presence, and it lifted him up to where Pharaoh looked at it and said, man, this guy has got something about what he is doing. He's got the right attitude of servanthood. And so we understand that because of this, Joseph was lifted up. I'm reminded of the psalm. I'll just quote this psalm, Psalm 105 in verse 17. The psalmist says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. He was sold as a slave. And yet Joseph did something called hard work. I want you to notice, if you're going to submit to doing the work of God in the relationship to being a slave, you're going to have to learn what it is to do hard work. Can you write that down for me? Now, let me be very clear. Statistically, it was released just this week that 2/3 of the jobs that are available in the United States of America right now that people are looking for folks to fill the void of can be filled by people who do not have a college diploma. 2/3. Over half of those jobs that are available can make the equivalency of the same amount of money paid to jobs that do have college education at the entry level. There has been a lie that has been put out in our country over the last 40 years that everybody needs to go to college. And it's a lie. We removed our vo-tex from our schools, and we acted like everybody is smart enough to go to college. I want to be real clear on this. Not everybody is intelligent. And you're looking at somebody that's not. I know I'm dumber than a box of rocks. Let me tell you something. Brother Greg Sutton, he was a doctor. I was very close to Dr. Greg. We would talk and go on trips and so forth, and I have picked his brain, and I am telling you that guy has a memory like a steel trap.
That guy was highly intelligent. I marveled at his intelligence. I've known most of you, maybe not to the same degree, but I'm sorry, most of y'all in this room don't have that memory. And most of you, if you would raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I remember Brother Greg Sutton, and I am not near as smart as that guy. Here's my hand to honestly..." Rest of you, you didn't know him, but over half the... You know it. How many would be honest enough to say, "Preacher, I know I'm just not that smart. I'm going to be honest about it." Amen. Amen. That is the vast majority. And this lie that has been told our culture, it has been predominant in education for well over 40 years, that we need to have jobs that get us out of the factory floor. Let me tell you what happened when we got rid of our factory jobs. We filled our jails. I know that's not popular preaching, but there was a time in our culture where the young men, they were taught a trade, and they would go from that trade, and they would go. And what we've been told is, "Oh, those jobs don't exist anymore." Yes, they do. They're in China. They're in India. And may I say that the same thing, and I'm on a little bit of a rabbit trail here. Y'all will forgive me. Our own culture, there are jobs in the computer industry and the tech industry in our nation that we cannot fill out of our own high school and colleges. And they're being filled by H-1 visas. I think it's the H-1 visa. I could be wrong at the name of that title of the visa. By people coming from Pakistan and India and from China, coming into our country to fulfill those jobs because they had the intelligent wherewithal. Meanwhile, we are raising kids who are dependent upon welfare, who have a subsidy mindset, who think they have everything coming to them because they simply do not comprehend or have anything known as a work ethic. Somebody say amen. Amen. We need hard work. We are lacking it. The progressives have lied. They have been wrong. They have miscalculated. There is still the necessity that people do work. It is the way God ordained it. That's just all there is to that. Hard work. It is a scam to tell us that everyone is to go to college. And may I say, the most prosperity that has been reaped of it is the colleges and the banks. I'm going to shock some of y'all. The richest college in America is the University of California. Does anybody want to take a guess how much is in its coffers? No, you're not even close. No, you're not even close. It is almost $1 trillion sitting in their banks. It's all supposed to go to students. The interest earned comes out and goes to a select amount of few students. They are one of the heaviest attended schools. They have several different branches and so forth that are represented in that state. But it has made money hand over fist. The number one thing people are indebted to is not cars, it's not houses. Right now in the United States of America, the largest indebtedness that is held by America is in the form of student loans. Because we have bought into the idea that I'll go get an education and I can just use my brain to work and work smarter, not harder, and not work with my hands. And meanwhile, our nation has suffered. And let me just tell you, Donald Trump has come in, and I'm not pushing Trump campaign or anything, but I'm just telling you, we had a 3% growth in just the summertime, higher than what President Obama had in all 8 years. Because you know what he's done? He's shutting down the borders. And he's trying to slap a few Americans and wake them up to the fact that we have within our own borders enough people to do enough work in our own country if we'll just get out of the stupid, lazy mindset that we're somehow elitist and we somehow deserve to have the world handed to us on a plate rather than work for it. Joseph had a work ethic. Jesus Christ had a work ethic. He had a servant's heart. You know, employees love it when they get somebody who is willing to work and to work hard. They love trustworthy individuals that they know aren't going to steal from them, that they know that they're going to be there on time. The number one complaint issued by employers is the lack of character by its employees in honesty, timeliness, and trustworthiness. And I believe with all my heart that has everything to do with the truth
that our country has removed God out of our society, and the atheists have once again sold America on a lie that if we will just get rid of God, we can still have morality. And what we have done is we have gotten rid of God, and our nation is plunged over the edge in immorality. And now the average person that goes to work cannot be trusted by their employee to show up on time, cannot be trusted to put in an honest day's work, cannot be trusted to keep from stealing from the coffers. And they just find out they can't find anybody to work hard. And it has also been said that when they get a good Christian in who understands these concepts, they love those people and they end up promoting those people. I don't mean to brag on my children. I love my kids, and this may sound a bit braggadocious. But when I was raising my kids, I was not the nicest father. And you can ask my kids. I've been very tough on them. I have not been as tough as I wanted to be on them. And I feel that sometimes I wish I'd have been tougher and making them work hard. But all my kids have gone to work at McDonald's. And every last manager there has done nothing but praise my kids, saying they're the hardest working kids. My two oldest have been employees of the month different times, employees of the entire franchise owned by the one owner. Why? Because I taught my kids the Christian value of just work and work hard. That's what's necessary in our culture. This is what Joseph did, and it prospered him. He could be trusted because he trusted God. He saw that there was a higher power involved on this, and he realized, God, you're doing something. I don't know what it is. Of course, he did not realize that God was sending him down to save the people, his own people. But the Bible makes it clear here that his trust in God was seen, and it motivated Potiphar to lift him up to a higher status in his home. And so we need to trust God. He was organized. He was meticulously organized. Everything he did, he thought it through. He managed it. He time managed. He was making certain that everything ran smooth and efficiency. If you look at verse number 6, and I'll get to verse number 6. I'll preach it a little bit later. But I want you to read what verse number 6 says. And he left, talking about Potiphar, all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save bread, which he did eat. Let me tell you what that means. Potiphar, who was the man of the house, who should know everything that's going on in his house, knew nothing that was going on in his house. He didn't know anything. He didn't have to concern himself with it. Why? Because Joseph had done such an efficient job that literally he came down, he sat down, and he saw the food. He said, well, there's food today. Ate good food, said, man, the house is running so smooth. I can go attend to doing Pharaoh's work and don't have to worry about that. Now, there's something to be said about that in itself, which will present itself next week and the problem that comes. I'm not going to jump on that right now. But that's how efficient he was. And by the way, and let me just stop and say something about this. Joseph was a Jew. Joseph was an Israelite, a Hebrew. And the Hebrew people have always had a testimony of people like Joseph, of being organized, of being good with numbers, good with time. We've often seen the accusation of the Jewish conspiracy that they're trying to take over the world, and this is one of the reasons why they've been hated. Let me be real clear to it. The Jewish people have been exalted because they are God's children. They have been blessed, and they have been blessed because they have been taught morality, they have been taught ethics of hard work, and they have done that, and because they have done that, they have always risen up to be the top positions in every country they've ever been in. That's why they keep getting expelled, because the people can't handle the fact that these folks are organized and they know what they're doing. The only nation that has not expelled Jewish people at one time in its history has been the United States of America, and we're on top. Now, you can sit back and look at how many of them are bankers, how many of them run the Hollywood industry and all that, and there's a lot to be said on that subject, but how many of them are lawyers and how many of them are politicians? There's a whole heap of people like that. Why? Because they have a moral ethic code that they learned from the Word of God that Joseph had delivered all the way from the beginning. And these are the stories that the Bible is filled with, and yet the average kid in our public school has no knowledge of them, that they even exist. It's a sad, sad reality. Now, Jesus Christ also exemplified this. The Bible says, and we read the passage in Hebrews in chapter number 10, he said, he came to do thy will, O God. He came with a servant's heart. We quoted Philippians. We'll quote Philippians at the end of the message again. But he came and he humbled himself and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Jesus Christ humbled himself and served. Well, how about us? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read two verses to you before I move to our next point. Our first point is that if we want to see the prosperity of God, if we want to see God prospering our ways and having his presence, we need to have a servant's heart. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 5, he addresses the servants. This is back when there were a lot more slaves in the culture, in the Roman culture. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Otherwise, these people are in charge of you, and you're to do it with fear and what? In singleness of your heart, as unto who? Otherwise, you do it as unto God, Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers. You don't do it to make people be happy with you. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We need to have the heart attitude. I'm doing God's will, and God's will is for me to work. If God has made me to be working as a contractor, I do a contractor. If I'm a hairdresser, I'm a hairdresser. If I'm a mother of children, and I'm just a stay-at-home mom, and I'm working there, by the way, jobs you can do, then that's what God's got me doing. That's what I'm going to do. What we've had today and been told today is to not be, accepting what the world wants us to do, but go out and forge your own way. Can I tell you, on that path of mindset in our country, there have been many, many people that have become wounded and become casualties to that system. Because they say, bless God, I'm going to do it my way. No one's going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to serve anybody. And they go down life and they falter and they fail and they can't figure it out. And I'm here to tell you that if you just put your nose to the grindstone and have the attitude that what I do for God, and I'm going to serve and I'm going to work for the Lord, God will give you his presence and God will give you his blessings and prosper your life. I believe that. And I believe that's what's missing in our culture. We have a victimhood mentality that is present in us. And I want to give this illustration to move to my next point. But everybody's a victim. Now, this victimhood mentality is represented in these next words I'm going to say. Racism, sexism, genderism, all these other isms that are being propagated in our culture today. And by the way, they're all being steered up against the white man. They are. Everybody else gets a pass because everybody else is a victim. If you're a minority, you've been a victim to colonialism. If you're African American, you're a victim of slavery. Now I'm going to be real clear to you. We've had a black president. If that doesn't say that we haven't turned things around, then I don't know what else does. I really don't. Yet, today, the speak that goes out and the culture is, it's almost as if we're still slaves today. It's almost as if, white man, the systemic racism and all the womanizing and all these things that we're being told by the left that is a reality. I'm telling you, it is defeating us as a culture. It is ruining us. It is blaming others for why you haven't succeeded. And that's not right. Joseph was, catch it now, literally a slave. The average person that acts like slavery is still amongst us is lying to themselves more than they ever realize. When you sit there and you drive a nice car, and you've got money in the bank, and you've got cell phones, and you've got freedom to travel and go and do, and you're a minority in this country, and you act like you're a slave, you are lying to yourself, and you are lying to the public, and may I just say, you know you are. You're just playing it. Here's the race card. Pachink. Here's the victimization card. Oh, I'm oppressed. No, you are not. You're just lazy. Is this being recorded? Make sure you send it to CNN. J- Joseph had a servant's heart. He was literally a slave, and he rose to the top. We don't have an excuse. Hard work is what is missing in our culture. Donald Trump got up in his weekly address. It was very short this week. Do you know what he said? He said right now, he said the job market is as low as it's been since 1973, the unemployment. And he said there are still plenty of jobs out there. So go out and get one and stop your complaining. Woo, glory! I'm off on a political thing. Let me just stop and say this. If things continue as they are, he will be the president again, no matter how much the left doesn't want it. Because when people see their bank accounts are full and that prosperity has come to the nation because hard work has come to the nation and jobs are coming back from them being overseas, when that gets understood by the basic American, no matter how much liberal gobbledygook we pour down the minds of kids in the public school system, when they understand that there is money to be made if they'll just put their nose to the grindstone and work hard, it will turn this nation back around to being great again. Because it has not been. We have become a nation of whiners and complainers and lazy people. And I hope it turns around. Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ give us an example of what happens when you will serve. And we need to serve. A church needs to serve. I already said it again. I'm going to say it again now. This church is what it is because we have a group of people that are willing to serve. Yesterday, Brother Smith washed the whole, you did go around the whole building, didn't you? He didn't make it. Lazy. Anyway, it's just him out there scrubbing it. No power washer. Scrubbing all the bug mess off the siding and so forth like that. And I'm trying to find something. So I emptied out the dumpster trying to find to see if something got thrown away. He said, "Preacher, you shouldn't be in that dumpster. Do you know why I didn't think a thing about it? You want to know why? I was ingrained when I was young to serve the Lord. Not too good to get into a dumpster." Some of you ought to join me sometime. Anyway, number two, that was our first point. When submitting to the will of God in work and service, we find that God's presence and his prosperity comes. Number two, when submitting to doing the work of God, man's grace propels you to the top. Given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto you. Now God lifted up Joseph, but he did it through men. Look at verses 4 and 5. And Joseph found grace in his sight. He found grace in the sight of a man. And he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he put into his hand. Probably at the age of 17, he shows up at Potiphar's house. And probably before he was the age of 20 to 21 years of age, he was running Potiphar's house. How does that happen? The grace of the men, they saw what he was doing, and they said, this guy, I'm going to put him forward. You know, you give an honest day work to your employer, they'll push you forward. They'll give you raises. People sit there and, I listen to so many people complain about, how I got fired, and, how my job's not working out the way I hoped, acting as if they had nothing to do with why they got in trouble or got canned. You know, 99% of the time when somebody gets fired, they usually got fired because they did something wrong. Ooh, it's quiet. I forgot I'm preaching to Americans who are entitled. Just calling it the way it is. Now, I've yet to have been fired at Tabernacle Baptist Church. Don't want to be. But let me tell you something. I have been working for over 30 years, and I have never been fired from a job. Do you want to know why? Because when I was a kid, I was taught what Joseph did and that I need to have that hard work attitude. And when you do that, men see it, women see it, and they go, we can trust this person. Do you want to know why many of you come and listen to me rattle on? Because you know you can trust me. Why do you know that you can trust me? Because I'm just simply implementing what God says. Hard work. You show up, you do your job, you do what's expected of you. You don't complain, you don't whine. God's grace and man's grace brought him to the top. Look at verse number 5. And he came to pass at the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the what? The Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. I believe that's what's happened to America. That made it great the first time, is God saw the work ethic of Christians and believers and Jews and people of religious values and backgrounds that saw that there's a God and that what they do, they're to honor God in, and they put that forward, and God saw that, and He prospered this land. And I believe He'll do it yet again. He blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Psalms 113, verse number 7, the Bible says, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and He lifted the needy up out of the dunghill. Talking about God. I don't know if you understand what it is to be in a dunghill. In the olden days, and matter of fact, even in third world countries, there are things called dunghills, where people take their mess of their bodies or of their stock, and they take it to a place, and they dump it, and they make a compost pile. And literally, in poor countries, children can be seen squatting out there on the dunghill playing in the manure because they're impoverished. In Somalia, back when they were really struggling, and they still are, the entire beaches had become filled with trash. And people constantly looking amongst the trash. You know, it is possible for a human to get pretty low in this world. And I don't know if you can get any lower than a slave. And like I said, people act like they just walked off the boat out of slavery in our country. And many of them have never known a day without food and prosperity. And they act like they're just walking off the boat singing, "Sweet Low." It's not that bad. It isn't. Most people in our country are so far removed from hard times. I gave you this illustration. I haven't made it a meme yet. I plan to. My wife will not be happy about it. But I told my wife I want a picture of her on my porch. My wife is years old. My grandmother has a picture of the same age. And she looks like she's 60. Why? She was during the era. Anybody know the name of the era? Say that again? The Depression. We have no idea. We are 2 to 3 generations removed. I don't think there's a person alive in this room that is a Depression era baby. I think every last one of you are at least a baby boomer. There may be 1 or 2. Here's one. Yeah. You showed up to church today? Turn that chair around, make sure her foot's elevated. Okay. Okay, she knows what Depression era is about. She stayed young the entire time, though. Good genes. Anyway, I digress. Where was I at? The dunghill. He takes people all the way at the lowest level and has the ability to lift them up all the way to being second in charge of Egypt, is what happened to Potiphar. Too many young people, unfortunately, walk out of colleges or out of high school thinking that they deserve the top spot, that they're going to go to making a 6-figure income right out the gate. They don't comprehend the realities of life. You got to start at the lowest and work yourself up. He was put in charge of everything, of his efficiency, and his display of true management skills was seen. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did. In Matthew chapter number 20 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus Christ demonstrated the servant's heart. When he came to this earth, he worked, and he worked hard, and he saw converts come and people follow, and people began to follow his teachings to where it grew to that there were well over a couple of 100,000 people out there saying, "Hosanna, the prince, the king has come," and wanting to crown him even that week. In Hebrews in chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, "But now we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor and life, that he may be, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Jesus Christ was brought to the lowest point to give his life a ransom forever, to where now he is exalted on the right hand of God, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. That's what God's power is able to do. And it happens when people are willing to work hard. Go with me real quickly to Titus in chapter 1. I'm running a slight bit of high. I had a lot to preach, and I've already said a lot, but I still have a little bit more. Will you be a little bit tolerant with me? Can I preach a little bit longer? I'm usually giving my invitation by now, but I had a lot to preach. Titus in chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which is after godliness. You realize Paul started off as a persecutor of Christians to be raised up by the Lord Jesus Christ as the top apostle. And even he said, I am the least of all apostles. That's the way it ought to be for us Christians. We ought to be willing to do the smallest and menialest of tasks. A year and a half ago, somebody was in the church, got sick, threw up right in the church. You know who was there cleaning it up? The pastor's wife. Why? She was taught to serve. She showed up at Fairhaven Baptist Church, and they were going to do a work project. It was a work day for college, and her and a few girls were all told to bring a toothbrush. They brought their toothbrush, and they were given some cleansers. It says, we want you to take your toothbrush and clean all the things. And they're like, okay. And they got down. He says, I'm joking. Don't use your toothbrush. But we were taught to serve and to work hard. And I am telling you, we need that. When you do that, God will lift you up. I want you to notice our last point. When submitting and doing the work of God, the Lord blesses both in things and in favor to come. He blesses both in things and favor to come. Look at verse number 6 at the end. And Joseph was a what? Goodly person. Remember I told you the word good derives from the word God. He was a godly person. And what? Well favored. Everybody wants to be liked. You want to be liked? Be a hard worker and you'll be liked. Some of the funerals that I have seen the most attended are not of the bums on the streets. I've been to funerals where nobody came to them outside of one or two family members because the person was a homeless drug addict had no character to them or whatever. I have been to funerals of farmers that the procession line to see him and the family was over 2 hours because the person was known to be a good person and hardworking. Job in chapter 22 and verse number 29 says, when men are cast down, then shalt thou say, there is the lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. You know, even the act of God's creating power, the fact that he created us and gave us a free will, demonstrates God's servanthood. God could have made us all robots just to say, yes, Lord, we love you, we will serve you, we will do what you want, but he gave us a free will because he humbled himself and gave us an ability to know what it is to have real life. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. There's a quote by a famous person, everybody wants to be popular without working for it. I'm reminded what Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 7 says, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and the Holy One, by whom he was man despised, to him whom the nations abhorrest, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, and princes even also shall worship. Talking about who? The Lord's Christ, the Holy One of Israel. Go back with me to Philippians again in chapter number 2. We closed this out last week, and we'll close it out here again. I've got a few more verses, and I'll be done. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and give him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should what? And every tongue, or things in heaven and things of earth, and under the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. That's what Jesus Christ had happened to him. He humbled, he served, and he was lifted up and given well favor to where that the entire population of the world now knows the name of Christ. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And Peter reminds us, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In conclusion, of all the people on the planet, the hardest working, most diligent and trustworthy servants, it should be said, are Christians. We should be the standard bearer of what hard work and servanthood looks like. We should be the most well-favored of the world.
We may be hated for it by lazy people, but at least people should know that Christians serve and work hard. I leave you with what Philippians chapters 2, verses 5 and 7 say. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? Verse 7. That he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Let's stand to our feet this morning.